Lord, to enable us, empower us, and just fill and guide our lives. Lord, help me to speak with clarity this morning. And Lord, anoint our ears to hear and receive, I pray. Be glorified here this morning, Lord Jesus. That's our prayer. Be glorified in this place. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Praise God. Well, I'd like for you to turn with me in your Bibles this morning to Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20. We're going to continue our studies in the Ten Commandments. We've been going through them one by one, not only bringing out what those commandments were, but what they are, how they apply today. And we're looking for the inner eternal principles of the Ten Commandments, the inner and eternal principles of the Ten. Now this morning, we're dealing with the fifth commandment, Exodus 20 and verse 12, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Boy, if there's ever a time for a commandment to be resurrected and taken out of the dusty pages of the past and practiced today, observed today, followed today, which one could be more appropriate? Huh? Let's read it together. Why don't you read it with me? Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. The command to honor your parents. Isn't it amazing that since the Ten Commandments sort of is a summary of the whole law, isn't it amazing that one of the ten words, actually the Ten Commandments, you know, literally reads the ten words of God. One of those ten words, the Ten Commandments, is to honor your parents. This is so important. It's so vital for the foundation of family and society that God lists it right in the center, right in the heart of the Decalogue, the Ten Commandments. Honor your mother and your father. Now, what does that mean, to honor them? Well, it means to respect them. It means to highly value them, to treasure them. It means to esteem them. It means, of course, to love them. It means to care for them. It means to obey them. You know, this commandment to honor our parents is found, thank you, dear, not only here in the Ten Commandments, but do you know that virtually every religion on the face of the earth has some sort of an obligation within it to honor your parents? In fact, some religions were really based on that emphasis, like Confucianism. That is the moral fabric of Confucianism, regard for one's parents. And they tell me that even some of the writings of the ancient pharaohs, or some of the things that have been left behind by the ancient pharaohs, were dealing with things like regarding one's parents and obedience and respect and things of that nature. Virtually every civilization has this moral requirement somewhere in it, you know, just to establish an orderly society. Now, you know what happens when children do not honor their parents, when there is no respect for parents or obedience to parents. You know the results. They're disastrous. In fact, I think that what's going on in our society today is largely a reflection of the fact that we have lost regard, respect, honor, obedience for parents in our own culture, in our society. Now, if we were going to give you an inner principle, what is the inner principle of this commandment, to honor your parents? The inner principle is respect, not only for your parents, but it begins there. Respect for your parents, but respect for all authority. respect for all authority. It begins at home. Respect begins at home. Respect them, honor them, obey them, love them. It begins at home. Of course, it extends from home to all those who are in authority. Teachers, government authorities, civil authorities, church. Of course, God's authority. But I'm convinced that much of the problem that we have today in the society that we live in, the problem with juvenile delinquency, with crime, with drugs, I believe we've raised several generations of children on psychology instead of on the Word of God. And the results have been a disaster. In fact, there are many problems, I believe, that are inherent in the society that we live in. Absentee fathers, you know, we've got a plague of that. Single parents trying to raise children, we've got a plague of that. We've also got young mothers, teenage mothers, who are having children while they're still children. And, you know, they're not emotionally equipped. They're not mentally or morally equipped to be raising children on their own. And a child who hasn't grown up themselves, how can they be expected to raise children? You know, we've got a number of problems, I believe, in our society. Mothers that are addicted to drugs and alcohol. Fathers, you know, who are addicted or who are absentees. What happens when you've got situations like that? Well, children are left to raise themselves. Children virtually raise themselves. They raise themselves on the streets. Their parents are the junkies, the ex-cons, the street people, the criminals that run the streets. Those become the parents because the street is their school, is their home. You know, their parents are absentees. Mothers are so strung out on alcohol or drugs, self-absorbed in their own lives and problems, that these kids are raised without love. They're raised without affection. They're raised without guidance. They're raised without any kind of moral guidelines. They're not raised in church, so they don't have any ethical or moral teachings or things instilled in them. They're raised without character, so it's no wonder that we've raised generations of kids who have no regard for the property of others, no regard for the life of others. They can take a human life and laugh about it. They can shoot people and then tell jokes about it. How can people do that? How is it that we've raised a generation of kids with no conscience? Well, there's somewhere been a breakdown in the whole fabric of our society. I believe it's got a number of causes that you can't just sum up in one particular thing, but I believe that a lot could be solved if we would just go back to learning how to honor our mothers and fathers, and if we had mothers and fathers who were instilling in their children Christian values, moral values. Kids who grow up hard grow up violent. They grow up hard, they grow up without affection, they don't know how to give affection, they don't know how to respect human life. And you say, well, that's just a problem in the inner cities. That's not so. You read in suburbia, white, upper-class suburbia, kids who murder their parents. And what about what's going on in the rest of the suburbs? We've got a culture of spoiled kids who, in many cases, are raised by daycare, babysitters, anybody who will watch the kids, because that's just the society that we live in. Look, I know that in the culture that we live in, most parents have to work. I know that in the culture we live in, there's a lot of single parents raising children. You've got a job ahead of you. You really do. But the Lord will give you the grace to do it. Those of you who are raising small children and you have to work, the Lord will give you the grace to do it. The ideal, of course, is to not have to spend that much time away from your children so that they won't have absentee parents. Children really need the impression of parents on their lives. They need it desperately. But, you know, we deal with what we're given. Each situation is unique. Each parent has to deal with the situation that they're in, and we just trust the Lord where we are. That's all there is to it. But I want you to think about this. We've got a lot of emotionally scarred people, parents, sometimes single parents, with hurts and wounds and scars, and they don't have a whole lot of emotionally, it seems like, to give to their kids. In fact, I believe part of our problem is that we just give things to our kids instead of giving ourselves to our kids. You give them things without giving them yourself, and that's just not a substitute. It doesn't produce well-rounded personalities. You know, when you give them everything except parental attention and correction, when you don't correct them, and I know what happens. Listen, I know exactly what happens. We've seen it and heard it and been through it too many times. If you're a single parent, you're having to make a living, and you have to put your child in daycare, or somebody's got to watch them, and you feel guilty about that. I know how that works. You feel guilty about that. You're trusting the Lord to change your situation. You just do what you got to do. But when you finally get home and you take your child at home and the child misbehaves or is sassy or disrespectful, you don't want to spank them because you don't want to think, you don't want the child to grow up thinking, well, oh no, mama's home, now I'm going to get a spanking. Because, you know, the only thing she ever does when she's home is spank me. Well, I know parents deal with the guilt in that situation too. And so they don't require their children to obey. You know, they'll yell at them, pamper them, coddle them, give them things, but what they really need, they do need correction. But they need correction the right way. You don't correct a child by verbally abusing a child. You correct a child. Well, I'll get to that in just a minute. How we're supposed to correct a child. The Bible tells us how we're to correct them. What happens also, I believe, in our society is that, you know, spoiled kids and pampered kids become selfish, unthankful, and they grow up to be spoiled, pampered, unthankful adults. And then they raise a generation of children. And what do you think those children turn out like? The cycle just continues. So we've got a bunch of problems in our society. We really do. America is a nation that has a lot of problems. But I believe that a lot could be resolved if we would just return to biblical principles, and we could start by just doing our part to properly esteem, regard, love, honor, and respect our parents. And from there, it extends to all authority. It bothers me to no end when parents are cussed by their children. But it happens every day. It happens in the best of homes. It happens in good homes. It happens in godly homes. It happens, you know, where a child will stand up and just cuss a parent out. Or hit a parent. That's not uncommon either. How is it that children can cuss parents, shove parents, hit parents, blame their parents? Hey, that's the newest wave, you know, in modern psychology. Whatever's wrong in your life, it's your parents' fault. Well, I mean, if you're down, depressed, you have no self-esteem, if you're a drug addict, an alcoholic, if you sleep around with everybody that you can drag on the side, if you're a no-good, rotten person, it's your parents' fault. Don't take any blame on yourself. Don't do that. Don't ever think that you're at fault. Blame your parents. They're the responsible parties. So, you know, the parents get blamed for everything. They didn't do a good enough job. They didn't give you enough things. They didn't pamper you enough, coddle you enough, stroke your ego enough, whatever it was. Probably what they didn't do was whip your hiney when you were little. And that's why you turned out the way you did. The sad thing is, you've got a society that blames parents as well. It really does. You know, psychology, psychiatry. You know, parents become the whipping boys, it seems like, the whipping posts. It's a sad thing, a sad state. A lot could be done just by you and I as Christians going back to the biblical commandment here to honor our father and our mother. You know, this is a Bible command. It's not an option. It's not an option. It's a Bible command. In the Ten Commandments, God says, honor your mother and your father. And he doesn't qualify it and say, if they're good people. He doesn't qualify it and say, honor them if they deserve it. He doesn't say, honor them if they're saved, spirit-filled, and really precious, wonderful people. Doesn't say any of those things. They could be rotten people. And let's face it, there's some rotten parents out there. They are. That's just the way it is. There's some rotten parents. Selfish, self-centered, egotistical, uncaring, unloving. There's all kinds of parents in the world, all kinds of people in the world. The Bible says, honor your mother and father. It's commanded even if your parents are not saved. It's commanded even if your parents are wicked. It's commanded even if your parents are alcoholics, drug addicts, criminals. It's commanded even if your parents are in a cult. It's commanded even if you don't agree with their lifestyle. It's commanded because they're your parents. God says, honor your mother and your father. This command is not always easy. I'll tell you that. It's not always easy. Now, I can't tell you that from personal experience, because I was blessed and fortunate to have parents that were lovable, even when I wasn't very lovable. But not everybody has had that privilege. And so when you have a chance to talk to people who've been raised in all kinds of homes, then you know that it's not always easy to honor your parents. It's not easy to honor somebody who is mean, cruel, vicious with their tongue. It's not easy to honor them when they're like that. It's not easy to honor somebody who is really a pretty rotten person. But God doesn't say do it because it's easy. We don't follow the Lord because it's easy. We follow the Lord because we love Him, we want to serve Him, we want to please Him with our lives. We're called to take up a cross. This is part of it. You honor your parents, respect your parents, care for your parents. We can do all things through Christ. Somebody say amen. You can do all things through Christ. You say, well, you don't know my Father. Well, I know our Father. And He gives us the grace we need to love our earthly parents and honor them and respect them. Now, let me just have you look with me to a couple of verses of Scripture. I hope you brought your Bibles this morning, because we're going to take a walk through the Word and look at some verses that I believe the Lord just wants to use to make an impression on our hearts. Leviticus chapter 19, I'd like for you to turn here with me if you would. Leviticus 19, and verse 3, God commands us to respect, honor, revere our parents. That also extends to grandparents, the elderly altogether, overall, and actually it extends to all authority. Leviticus 19:3, you shall fear every man his mother and his father, and keep my Sabbaths, I'm the Lord your God. Now I want you to notice verse 3 again. You shall fear every man his mother and father. Now when we speak of fear in this regard, it doesn't mean you cower in terror of them, but that you respect them, revere them, honor them, love them, render obedience to them, and do it lovingly. If your parents are mean to you, be nice to them. If your parents talk nasty to you, talk kindly to them. If your parents cuss you, bless them. Listen, the Bible calls us to love our enemies, let alone our own parents. So it doesn't matter how they are, we have an obligation as children of God to honor our parents. Honor them, love them, respect them. Verse 32, you're still right there in Leviticus. Look with me to verse 32. He says here, thou shalt rise up before the hoary head, that is, the gray head. You shall rise up before the gray head and honor the face of the old man and fear thy God. I am the Lord. You know what the idea here is? Absolute respect. Respect for those who are older than you. Respect for the elders. Honoring our elders, there's a commandment that God gives us in the Word of God. Now, that brings me to a couple of very important points that I want to make this morning. We saw the commandment, honor your mother and father. Here's the first point I want to make. Parents, respect, when it comes to respect, respect must be taught to our children. We must teach them to respect us and others. Respect must be instilled in them. It is our duty to instill these character traits in them. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, I want to read a verse to you. Listen to this. Here is our obligation as parents. Deuteronomy 6 and verse 7. When it comes to the commandments of God, listen to this. Deuteronomy 6 and verse 7. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. The idea is, parents, teach the Word of God diligently to your children. We're called to train them up in the way of the Lord and instill these eternal principles, the principles of the Word of God, in them. We're to talk about it. We're to teach them, not just occasionally when we feel like it or when we've got extra time or when we're in the mood, but look at what verse 7 says. Teach them diligently unto thy children. Now, who is he talking to here? Parents. Who is responsible to teach our children? Parents. It's not a job you can leave to others to do. It's not a job you can leave to the Sunday school, children's church, or anybody else. It's not a job you can leave to somebody else to do. Parents ought to do it. Now, Sunday school, children's church, that reinforces what you teach at home. Praise God for it. It reinforces what you teach at home. But parents, we are individually responsible to teach our children and teach them diligently. And look at what he says. Thou shalt talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. In other words, don't just do this occasionally. But it's a habitual, continuous, lifelong process. As long as you have them, as long as they're children, we need to be instilling in them these values, these principles, this instruction in the Word of God. All right. Let's look over to the book of Proverbs. There's a bunch of verses over here that deal with this particular subject that I'd like for us to read. Proverbs 22, first of all. Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way he should go. Not in the way he wants to go. Train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. What a promise. What a blessed promise. We can hold on to it. The word train up a child, the actual word means to dedicate. Train up your children. You've dedicated them to the Lord. The idea is they are the Lord, so we're to train them up in the right way. We're to teach them, instill these things in them. It's a process, a lifelong process. Train up a child. Now, Strong's defines the word child as the age from infancy until adolescence. From infancy to adolescence, you've got them. That's when you can mold their character. That's when you can instill these things in them. Train up a child in the way he should go. That's our obligation, our duty, our responsibility. And when he is old, there's a promise we can hold on to. He'll not depart from it. Hey, if they wander, if they stray, let's lay hold of this promise and believe them right back again. Because here's a promise. He says they won't depart. So let's pray and believe together, if they've strayed and wandered, that they'll come back front and center. That the values and instruction that you imposed upon them, that word will not return void. That God will do what he said in these promises. Respect. The idea here is that respect must be instilled in them. We must demand it from them. Train them up in the way they should go. Look with me to verse 15. Proverbs 22:15. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Huh. There's one for modern psychology, psychiatry. They don't like that one. Just the other day, I was reading something in the newspaper, one of the Ann Landers columns or whatever. They were saying, if you spank a child, you'll teach them to be violent. You'll teach them to hit children. Well, not if you spank them biblically. Not if you follow the biblical pattern. Now, if you're just going to hit them, that's another thing. The Bible doesn't say do that. It doesn't say yank them by the arm and slap them across the head and throw them down. That's not how you correct a child. That is not how you deal with a child who's disobedient, disrespectful, bad. You don't deal with them like that. That's not what the Bible teaches. There's a place where the rod is to be administered. And there's a time when the rod is to be administered. You never do it when you're angry. Never, ever correct a child when you're angry. Never. You're too big to be correcting a child in anger. If the child is bad, if they've got you angry, then you just tell them to go sit right there and I'll deal with you in a little while. But don't ever hit a child angry. And you don't hit them with your fist, and you don't slap them across the face, and you don't knock them on the head. And some of the things parents do, it does constitute abuse. God never calls us to abuse children. They're bad, they're disrespectful, they're disobedient. Then when you are calm and collected, you put them across your knee, and you spank them betimes, the Bible says. You apply the rod. I mean, there is such a thing as loving correction. I want you to look with me to Proverbs 19. Proverbs 19 and verse 18. Chasten thy son while there is hope, and let not thy soul spare for his crying. You know what the temptation is, boy. They're going to start whining and yelling and screaming if you're going to spank them. But the Bible says, do it. Verse 18, chasten them while there's still hope, while they're moldable, while they're still pliable. Do it, and don't let your soul spare for his crying. They're going to cry. That's just spank them. They need it. Chapter 13, look with me in chapter 13 in verse 24. You say, I just can't spank my child. It seems so cruel. It seems like a parent who would do that must not love his son. Proverbs 13:24, he that spareth his rod hateth his son. But he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. The Bible's teaching is just the opposite of what modern psychology tells us. You see, if you love your son, you'll require them to respect you and obey you. If you love your daughter, you will require them to respect you and obey you. And the idea here is that if you don't correct them, if you leave them to themselves, they won't turn out right. They won't turn out good. They won't bring you joy. It's not enough to yell at them, berate them, belittle them, call them names. That's not the way you do it. If you spare the rod, you hate your son. But if you love him, you'll correct him. Does God correct us? Does he ever apply the rod to us? Now, why does he do that? Because he hates us? No, because he loves us. In fact, Hebrews 12 says, you know, when our parents correct us, we love them. And so when our father corrects us, should we run? Should we flee? Should we think he's mean or unrighteous? No, our Heavenly Father corrects us. If we get out of line, he knows how to bring us back around. The same thing is true with parents. If you love your children, you'll correct them. You'll love, it'll be loving correction. You might put them across your knee and say, son, this hurts me as much as it does you. And they say, there's no way it could hurt you. But it does. As a parent, it does. To spank your child, look, it's not a joyful thing to do that. You're not happy to spank your child. The child may deserve everything he gets, but it's not a happy occasion. But if you love them, you'll correct them. All right, let's look at yet another verse. Chapter 23, Proverbs 23. And verse 13. Withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. They sound like they're dying, but they're not dying. Withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. Thou shalt beat him with the rod, and shall deliver his soul from hell. Now that's pretty strong, isn't it? Now, what's the rod? Is it a baseball bat? Is it a club? A billy club? No, it's just a switch, a paddle, something that'll sting them, something that'll make their little hiney red, but not injure them. You're not out to injure. You're not out to bruise. You don't want to hurt your child. You want to correct your child. You want him to know he's been whipped so he doesn't want it again. And there's a place to apply it. You don't hit him in the head with it or in the arms, in the back. That's not how you apply it. Hello? Verse 13, withhold not correction from the child. If you beat him with the rod, he won't die. But if you don't, he will. If you don't beat him with the rod, the idea here is he'll die a second death. If you beat him with the rod, you'll deliver his soul from hell. The idea is we must require them to obey us. It's our responsibility, parents, to require them to obey us. You don't have an option here, son. You don't have an option here, daughter, to obey or not obey. You will obey. You will obey. Train up a child in the way he should go. Don't say, well, look, I'm not going to take him to church because he don't want to go. Well, what if he don't want to go to school? They'll put you in jail if you don't send him to school. So the idea here is to train him up in the way he should go, not in the way he wants to go or she wants to go. You don't yield to the child's will. They must bend to your will. We've got to impose our will upon them. And does that sound mean, harsh, cruel, unjust? No, it's biblical. We've got to train them up in the way they should go. I want you to look with me to yet another verse, Proverbs chapter 29. And verse 17, correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall give delight unto thy soul. You know, when we require obedience and respect, they give it. They learn to give it. They learn to respect others and to respect people and to respect property and respect authority. And the Bible tells us here, if you do that, they're going to give you comfort. You'll be comforted. They'll give delight to your soul. They'll make you proud. I want you to look with me to yet another verse, in verse 15. Because if you don't do it, just the opposite is true. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself brings his mother to shame. They must be taught to respect us, to honor us, and obey us. If we don't require it, they won't render it. Forget what Dr. Spock said. Throw away that book. Forget what psychology and Ann Landers or anybody else tells you when it's not biblical. Forget what they say. Stay with the Bible and be safe. But you want to remember, correction, whenever it is administered by a parent, is to be done lovingly. Can you spank a child lovingly? Yes, you can. You can take them, you can hug them, and you can say, son, I'm going to have to spank you. Or daughter, I'm going to have to spank you. Because you disobeyed. And you spank them, and then you hug them, and you tell them you love them, and you send them on about their business. You see what happens when you just abuse them verbally, and you yell, and you scream, and you beat them up verbally? It just never stops. The tension's always there. You start saying, stop that, quit doing that. I told you not to do that anymore. I tell you to stop it. And then you're calling them names, and then you're angry, and then you're yelling and berating them, and the tension remains all day. But if you tell them and they don't obey, then the next time you say, okay, come on, come sit over here, it's time to get the rod. You spank them, you hug them, you kiss them, you send them on, the tension's gone, it's over, everything is fine. Boy, I tell you, y'all looking at me funny. But spanking them, loving correction, is not abuse. It does not constitute abuse. I have heard that there are three methods of raising children. Maybe you've heard about these three methods. The first one is the cherub method. Cherub, C-H-E-R-U-B. Cherub. You know what a cherub is? An angel. The cherub method is, my child is an angel, they can do no wrong. You never spank them. I mean, who would spank an angel? You don't spank angels. Your child can do no wrong. You don't punish angels. You give the little cherub everything they want. And if they get in trouble, well, then you blame other people. If they get in a fight, you blame the other kid. If they get in trouble at school, you blame the teacher. If things go wrong, you blame the principal. If the police pick them up, you blame the police. And one day you can blame the jailer. Or the executioner, or whatever. But the cherub method raises devils, not angels. One thing that we need to realize as parents, all of our children do wrong. None of them are angels. They're not devils. They're not devils, but they're not angels. They're children. And as children, they need to be raised and trained and corrected. And you love them and you correct them. And don't think, don't ever get the idea, my child would never do that. You have no idea what your child would do, given the opportunity. But don't ever fool yourself into thinking they're cherubs. They're children. They're children, and as children, they can be mischievous, disobedient, disrespectful, bad. They can be bad. I know that's shocking to some parents, but it's true. Your children could be bad. And you just have to apply the rod to their bod and trust the Lord. The cherub method. Here's another method, the hammer and anvil method. You know what this method is? You just beat them into shape. The hammer and anvil method. But that's not the correct method. You don't beat children. You don't punch them, slap them, kick them, knock them on the head. You don't do those things to children. That does constitute abuse. You spank them, but you never hit them. And when you spank them, you do it in love. And I think there's even some wisdom in using a little switch on their back end. I think there's wisdom in that instead of using your hand. The Bible talks about using the rod. It doesn't say hit them with your hand. It doesn't say slap them or anything like that. Use a switch. They put a switch on me. I didn't think it did any good at the time, but it seems to have long-term cumulative effects, you see. The hammer and anvil method, however, will produce just the opposite results of what you're looking for. If you think it's going to cause a child to get in line, be respectful and obedient, it won't. That method will teach them violence. It will teach them. The hammer and anvil method, you know, hit them and beat them into shape, it'll just teach them to be violent and angry and bitter and resentful and even worse. The biblical method, here's the biblical method, train up a child in the way he should go. And when he's old, he won't depart from it. Here's how you train him up biblically. You give him godly instruction, number one. Number two, you set a godly example. Godly instruction, godly example, and number three, loving correction. That's the biblical method. I mean, that's simple, isn't it? That's very simple. Godly instruction, godly example, loving correction. Always, at all times, loving them, affirming them, edifying them. Don't use your mouth instead of spanking. That's the number one mistake I think we make as parents. Instead of spanking them, we use our mouth. And we beat them up verbally. That doesn't help us, and it doesn't help them either. I'll tell you something else. Don't fall into the snare of you using your tongue to berate your children. or to belittle your children, or to call them names. Don't do that. Don't fall into that trap of just saying, what are you, stupid? Are you retarded? Are you an idiot? What kind of a kid? Don't fall into, that happens every day. Look, it happens in homes. It happens in good homes. But don't do that. That's not how you correct children. You don't call them names. God forbid that we call them names. You know, I just read this week the results of a test, and I thought this was really interesting. Listen to this test a teacher did in her own class. She had children that were all average students in her class. They all tested the same on their various tests that they took and various levels and all. They were all the same, virtually all the same. She took the class and just divided them and told half the class that they were exceptional students. She told half of them, this group is exceptional and this group is average. And almost every day, she just reaffirmed that to the class. You know, say, well, okay, I want the average students to do it, and I want my exceptional students to... Thus and so. So each day, she told the same students the same thing. And guess what? At the end of the year, the exceptional students graded over a year advanced from the students that she called average all year. What do you think about that? The same level. They were all on the same level. All she did different was call this group exceptional and this group average. The group she called exceptional became exceptional. And the group she called average stayed average. Now, what if we tell children that they're stupid? I mean, if what we tell people, if what we say to them actually has that much of an impact on them, what if we tell them they're stupid? What do you think the child will grow up thinking? Man, not me, I'm stupid. I can't do that. Boy, I'd really like to one day fly an airplane, but I'm stupid. I mean, I could never do that. I mean, I got to be stupid. My mama told me I was stupid. She told me I was stupid all my life. I'll never learn how to do anything like that. The idea is that, you know, we've talked before how much impact our words have. So let's use our words to edify. Remember Ephesians 4:29? We ought to write that everywhere in our house. Speak only that which edifies. Speak what edifies. Don't call your children stupid. Don't belittle them. Don't tell them they never grow up to amount to anything. Don't say those kind of things. That has an impact on their lives. I mean, this woman in a classroom, this teacher in a classroom, she proved it just by calling one group of students exceptional. They became exceptional. They performed to her words. And the other group, well, they just stayed average. So if we say good things about our children, you know, I love your son, I love your daughter, you're a good kid. You really are. And I want you to know I love you. And you can be anything you want to be in life. You can excel in life. You just edify them, build them up, encourage them. That's the way I believe we ought to train them. A child not taught to render respect to his parents, to his elders, to everybody who is in authority will wind up one day bringing judgment upon his head. I want you to look with me. You're in Proverbs. Look with me to chapter 30. Proverbs 30 and verse 17. Look at this. Proverbs 30, 17. The eye that mocketh at his father and despiseth to obey his mother, the ravens of the valley shall pick it out and the young eagle shall eat it. What's this saying? It's saying that a child who grows up disrespectful, disobedient, rebellious, and that is not required to obey, they're going to die. They're going to die tragically. They're going to die younger than they should have. And the Bible says here, it's going to be, in other words, it will be a curse upon that child who is not required to obey his parents. They will become cursed. They'll die young, and they'll die tragic, and they won't be buried. The idea there is that they'll be cursed even in their death. They'll be cursed. They'll become buzzard food. Now, I want you to notice something else. I want you to notice the promise that's associated with Exodus 20 and verse 12. Honor your mother and father. There's the commandment. honor your mother and father. But notice what he says, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. You know what he's saying there? I think we see it there. I think we see it right here in Proverbs 30:17, that if we don't deal with our children, God will. And that when God deals with them, it'll be tragic. You're in Exodus. No, you're in Proverbs. Look with me back to Exodus. Exodus 21. I want to read another verse or two over here. And then we're going to go to the New Testament and read a verse or two. Exodus 21:15. I want you to notice just how heinous the sin is. If we don't teach them to respect us and obey us, then they grow up and they want to slap you. Exodus 21:15, and he that smiteth his father or his mother shall be surely put to death. The sin of smiting your parents, punishable by death. Verse 17, and he that curseth his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. You know, here's a sin so wicked, so vile, so reprehensible in the sight of God, that the penalty for cursing your parents and the penalty for smiting your parents is the same as the penalty for murder. In fact, right here in Exodus 21, he tells us what the penalty for murder is. Verse 12, Exodus 21:12. He that smiteth a man so that he die, he shall surely be put to death. You kill somebody, execution is the form of punishment that you encounter. The penalty for kidnapping, Exodus 21:16, death. Exodus 21:16, you steal a man, kidnapping, the idea there is, the penalty is death. The crime of cursing your parents, disrespecting them, dishonoring them, is so wicked in the sight of God that he made the penalty for it, death. Why? Because it's a crime against the very fabric of society. It's a crime against God. And of course, it's a crime against your parents. Those who don't respect their parents respect no authority at all. I'll tell you what, I want you to turn with me now to Ephesians chapter 6, and let's read a verse over here. I tell you, I can still hear this verse being rehearsed by a chorus of little voices in my house when my girls were so little. I'd sit them down on the sofa and we'd go over these verses over and over again, and they could rehearse them by heart. I can still hear that chorus of little voices. Ephesians 6:1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. The promise that it may be well with thee. The idea here is, if you do right, your life will be a good one. God will bless you. It'll be pleasant. It'll be happy, enjoyable. And not only that, but you'll enjoy health. You'll enjoy long life. That's the whole, that's a pretty powerful promise, don't you think? Honor your mother and father. This is the right thing to do. And it's the first commandment that's got a promise attached to it. The other commandments didn't have a promise attached. This one's got a promise. What is the promise? That it may be well with thee. That your life would be well, good, full, rich, enjoyable, pleasant. That it may be well with thee, and that you would live long on the earth. A long, enjoyable, healthy, blessed life. Honor them. Respect them. Why? Because God commands it. That's why. Secondly, because love demands it. That's why. They're your parents. You honor them for their age, honor them for their experience, honor them for the blessings that they have conferred upon you, honor them for the sacrifices they have made for you, honor them because they may not be with you very long. Honor those parents. Love them. You know, one of my daughters called this week. Three of mine are married now. Three of the four are married and gone. Only got one left at home, but one of them called and said that one of the daughters that we had, you know, some trials with bringing her up in her teenage years, was talking to another one of the daughters and saying that she was digging through some stuff in her new house, and as she was doing it, she found an old receipt book from where we paid for her to go to Christian school. There was a time when we had all of them enrolled in Christian school, and she found the old receipt book, and she was looking through it, and I guess it dawned on her what a tremendous sacrifice her parents had to have made to send her to Christian school. I mean, it ain't cheap. And when you got one, two, three, when you got four of them in Christian school, think of what the cost is. And when you got parents who don't, you know, who don't make a whole bunch of money, it's not like Brother Henry, you know, who just says money, so much money, don't know what to do with it all. Just, Henry actually woke up, look. But you know what touched me is how she had called one of her other sisters and said, you know, Mom and Dad, boy, they really sacrificed to send us through school. Well, you know, now when you're on your own, you got your own house, paying your own bills, paying your own electricity, your own water, buying your own groceries, all of a sudden you realize what a sacrifice it would be if I had to pay to send a kid to school. What if I had to send four of them? How would we live? Well, she, you know, it's kind of like a light came on in her head, and she realized, whoa, what a sacrifice Mom and Dad had to make just to send us to school. And she was telling her sister how that, you know, when I was young, I was very demanding on my parents, on Mom and Dad. I made a lot of demands on them. You know, I think it just takes a little age, a little maturity before they start waking up and smelling the roses and realizing what parents go through. But when you're young, you don't realize the sacrifices parents make. When you're young, you don't realize those parents stayed up nights walking the floors, praying prayers, believing God when your nose was running and your fever was high. You know, children don't realize the heart-wrenching times parents go through raising those children, the sacrifices they make to make sure their clothes are good, even when the parents' clothes may not be so hot. Children get first priority, and it's a sacrifice you make all your life long. All life long, but as you get older, you begin to realize, gee, Mom and Dad, they made a lot of sacrifices. And you know, the older you get, the more you realize Mom and Dad wasn't that stupid either. I mean, I used to think they were from, you know, prehistoric times, but the older I get, the more I realize they were pretty smart. And I had a friend tell me a couple of weeks ago, he said, you know, Rusty, he was showing me a house where his mother lived, where she used to live. She's gone on to her reward now, but he showed me the house. He said, you know, my mother lives so close to me. He said, and I always used to say, I'm going to go over there and visit her and spend more time with her and so on. He said, but then, he said, I was busy. If you knew how busy I was, I just never really found enough time to go by there, spend time with her, sit down with her, talk with her. He said, now she's gone, and I can never do that again. I tell you, when he told me those things, it really touched my heart, because you know why we need to respect, honor, love our parents? Because you just don't know how long you're going to have them. You just don't know. My dad was gone in a very short period of time. Papa Sterling here one day, gone the next. I mean, a man, a woman, they can be gone in the prime of life. You don't know how long you're going to have them. If your parents are alive, be thankful. If your parents are alive, love them, honor them, respect them. It doesn't matter what kind of people they are. That doesn't mean you endorse everything they do, believe, or their lifestyle. It doesn't mean any of those things. Just love them, because you don't know how much longer you're going to have them. Now, that brings me to another point, and it's just as important as the points I've made so far. And I really want to drive this home. This is really important. We've been talking about children obeying your parents. I want to say this. Parents, listen to me here. Parents, you cannot require what you yourself do not render. Now, I want you to think about this. You cannot require what you yourself do not render. You can't expect your children to respect mother and daddy if you don't respect each other. Now, I want you to think about this, parents. In our homes, we must respect each other. Mother respects father, husband respects wife, wife respects husband. Y'all follow me? How can we demand that our children respect us when we don't respect one another? When the husband and wife have no respect for each other? When they belittle each other, call each other names, insult one another, throw tantrums, yell and scream at each other. When we have no respect for each other, how can we demand that our child respect us? In fact, you'd want to slap your child's teeth out if they called you the names that you call your wife or you call your husband. Now, I know that's not true in every case, thank God, but it's true in too many cases. In far too many cases, we've got husbands and wives who put each other down, belittle each other, mock each other, ridicule each other, ridicule each other's families, insult one another. These things ought not to go on in our homes, beloved. If your wife is getting you to the point where you're going to tell her things you ought not say, you better take a walk. Instead of saying things you ought not say. Same thing is true. Wives, don't use that mouth to tear up your husband. Mocking, belittling, insulting. You fight in front of children. Talk to each other mean, cruel, vicious. Biting, tearing, ripping. And then we want our children to respect us. My point is, how can we require from our children what we don't render to each other? So the principle here, the inner principle, is respect. Respect for one another, and respect by extension to all authority. Now, this is what it includes. I'm about to finish here. Husbands submitting to the authority of God. Wives submitting to the authority of their husbands. I know that's a bad word, but the Bible teaches it nevertheless. Children submitting to the authority of their parents. It includes mutual love, mutual respect, mutual cooperation, even mutual submission. It also includes submission to the civil authorities, police, the laws of our government and country, and even submitting to the authority of our local church. Hebrews 13:17 talks about obeying them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves to them because they watch for your souls. Now, here's just a couple of final words this morning. I don't want to heap any more guilt on parents than what many of them are already carrying, because I'll tell you why. There are some parents who carry an awful load of guilt. Guilt and condemnation because of their children. Whenever children do wrong, parents feel guilty. You know this is true. Children do wrong and parents feel responsible. Parents feel guilty for it. You know, if you have a conscience, that's generally the way you feel. You feel like, well, somehow or another I failed as a parent. In some cases that may be true, but I want you to know it's not true in all cases. Because if you train them up in the way they should go and they reach their teenage years or whatever and they go their own way, look, you raise them up in the way they should go. You did your part. Now you pray for them, believe for them, believe God, they'll come back around. But don't carry around this eternal load of guilt and perpetual load of guilt thinking that they're wrong and doing wrong and all that because of you. Somehow or another, you failed as a parent. If you did fail as a parent, and in some ways we all fail, because we're all human. None of us are perfect. But what do you do? Is that the unpardonable sin? What do you do if you've failed, if you haven't done everything just as perfectly as you should have done? What do? We repent. We ask God's forgiveness. right? We ask the Lord to cleanse us and forgive us. We also pray for our children and believe God for them to walk with the Lord. And, you know, there may be times where you have to go and ask a child to forgive you. You don't ever think that you can't apologize to a child. If you do wrong, you apologize. If you yelled, screamed, accused them falsely or whatever, you apologize to your child. I'm sorry can go a long way. I've had to do it many times to my own children. Repent. Pray for your children. Believe God for your children. Release them to the Lord and just hold on to His promises. Well, honor your mother and father. How do you honor somebody who's hard to love? How do you honor somebody who's unloving, mean, cruel? How do you honor somebody like that? Well, for one thing, God didn't say it would be easy. He just said, do it. He didn't say, honor just the good ones. He said, honor your parents, whoever they are. And I'll tell you something else. Do it as unto the Lord. You know, just like you do your work as unto the Lord, wives, you serve your husbands and bless them as you are doing it unto the Lord. Husbands love their wives as Christ loved the church. Well, you know what? We can honor our parents as though we were doing it unto the Lord. Love them, honor them, respect them, and obey them. The only time we are justified in disobedience, I'm talking about as children, the only time we're justified in disobedience is when the demands of parents would cause us to disobey the Lord. And then at that point, we yield to a higher authority than our parents. You know, there is one authority higher than them, and that's God's authority. You know, the same thing is true for our government. We're required to obey our government, to respect it and honor it. The Bible says, honor the king, pray for those who are in authority. We're going to talk a lot about that tonight when we study the sovereignty of God. But what happens if the government starts making requirements, you know, that would cause us to disobey God? What do? Well, you yield to the higher authority of God. You respectfully disobey the government at that point and yield to the higher authority of God's word. And then you just bear the consequences, whatever it may be. They may throw you in jail, they may, whatever. That day may come, you know, where a Christian would have to yield to the higher authority, of God and disobey the government. But when you do it, if you have to do it, you do respectfully, because you got to remember those authorities are there by God's ordination. So we even when we disobey respectfully. You didn't know there was such a thing, huh? Well, God help us all to be better parents and better children. Father, I pray this morning that you would take the word and help each of us to apply it to our own lives and our own circumstances. Father, I know that there are all kinds of parents in the world. And I know that some situations are hard and difficult, and some people are facing unique circumstances and difficult ones. Father, I know that you'll be with each of us as we seek, Lord, to work these things out in our own lives and to fulfill these obligations that we have to you and to our parents. Father, I pray that for those who are going through especially difficult times right now with parents and loved ones, like our sister Louise, I pray especially for her, Lord. For our sister Vita, Lord, who's going through this time with her parents. Just strengthen, Lord, and encourage and bless them and use them in a mighty way, Lord, ministering to their parents. And Father, for anyone else here that's going through a difficult time with parents, or with children, I pray, Father. I pray, Lord, for healing in homes and situations, and I pray for help in those situations. Help us all, Lord, to render the respect and love that we owe. And Father, help us, I pray. Forgive us where we've fallen short. Cleanse us, Lord, and forgive us from all of our sins and shortcomings. And being a child, if we've been disrespectful and disobedient, forgive us, Lord. And if we've been negligent parents, forgive us, Lord. And Father, we pray for our parents and our loved ones. We pray for our children. We pray for their salvation. We pray, Lord, that you'd grant them repentance and faith and salvation in the name of Jesus. It's our prayer this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.